Good day to everyone, or perhaps some evening. This is Lena Live. I'm back, it is my particular pleasure today because I will be the only host and the only guest. So my thoughts for today, somewhat partial reflection on the year which flew so fast, and also, even though I will most likely devote a special program to a holiday season, I found that it is important for all of us to have an opportunity to think what was really predominantly important and why it was important. And do we want this to stretch to the new year? Or we like to say goodbye to this event or thoughts or perhaps some doubts with the old year? We have certainly an ample opportunity, and a tradition of the holiday is, even though usually a celebration, but it's also a lot of reflection. And a number of people, unfortunately, feel that holiday is not such an easy time. And it's not because it's negative or pessimistic. It's because we are very substantial and profound human beings who are certainly measuring our life not only by the calendar, but also by very spiritual and for some deeply religious tradition. And the end of the year is certainly symbolizing the symbolizing certain result and certain thoughts which are terribly important for all of us and our individual rights and our individual drive. So I like to talk about a few extremely important aspects of our life, and some of them is extremely evident. Like to have a medical doctor whom we trust, like to have another everyday reliable source for our children's education. And a number of those issues which we're going through today are becoming an inseparable part and a habit of our lives. One of those qualities and one of the profession, to say it in a little bit narrow sense of the word, is a journalism. And when I said that profession, that it is in a narrow sound and a narrow indication as a profession, because actually journalism is something which we inevitably feel totally connected in everyday life. Journalism is the source for our news. It's a news of a small picture in the immediate area where we live. But the journalism also symbolizing a huge message which covers history and covers tremendous amount of events in art, music, education, but it also covers our highly diversified source of life. My personal observation is that journalism has more challenges in our days today than it was, for example, 20, 30 years ago, because of the technology, because of the computer presence, which makes journalism that much more challenging. Personally, I feel that journalism somewhat in a competition with a computer, because internet can provide immediate, quick source of unlimited information. Yet, we cannot deny this human element. It's the message and it's the messenger. And the more complex message, the more interpretation we are eager to hear, and the more interpretation will deepen our understanding and comprehension of this information. So the role of a journalist is somewhat divided. The story has to be delivered with professionalism, accuracy, but it also has to have some timing of humanity, especially if it is channeled to different demographic location, especially if it is oriented towards a certain national or cultural group of people. All this refinement on the shoulders of the journalist and journalism as a whole. There is no secret that we are facing many, sometimes overwhelming, economic challenges. We talked about this in a number of programs. It is also not a secret that many people are craving, searching, and driven by the finding the answer for some of their very strong anxiety, how to be part of this highly dynamic world. And many of those answers, indeed, in everyday journalism. We have those very unpredictable connections because our imagination became so incredibly unpredictably dynamic. Again, technology provokes this because in a computer, in a site of 5 seconds, you can be exposed to so much information, and as a human being, we react to it and we produce our own reactions. So our imagination and our informative bank becomes immediately that much more resourceful. Then we have to analyze this, then we have to sort it, then we have to compartmentalize this. All of these processes taking place in everyday life, and sometimes quick decisions, is the only way to go. So when I'm looking at the history of journalism, I felt that segregation of the journalistic talent was somewhat more defined than today, because we had certain journalists who would handle, for example, history of the wars. We will have certain TV or radio anchor who been legend in sport news. And today, it is just a tremendously phenomenal revelation of multitask, which many journalists have to perform on a daily basis. Myself always had a little child dream, and now it's adult dream, to be part of this ocean of information and to be part of this most fascinating genre of journalism. And I feel that, at least in my own modest right, my talk show will be that much diversified, to keep you that much informed, entertained, create some disagreements, perhaps some conflicting thoughts, because after all, that's what makes us move, feel, and develop. So I would say that one of the greatest examples for myself in terms of classic journalism, I would say, and of course it's a highly subjective, but somehow I feel many of you will agree with me. I would say that Hugh Downs, very known journalist of the classic school, I hate to say old-fashioned, because whatever is classic and whatever is beautifully old is endless. It has its own roots, it has its own energy, and I believe that it sets tone for younger generation, which even though will know how to fly, but certainly needs to know those beautiful traditions when journalism was taken by these people like Hugh Downs, not only with seriousness, but with this resourcefulness, which I was talking about, because frankly, we know them on certain programs for certain years, but we're not aware always that, for example, a person like Hugh Downs was a composer, published composer. Then I believe he was somewhat interrupted doing his television shows. His continuous, very fruitful life is connected to the health issues. Now, don't we feel that we can certainly have unquestionable trust to a person like Hugh Downs because of his general tremendous education, power of conceptualizing just about anything, and his life career proves that he certainly can handle just about any subject, because this professionalism, which I was talking about, and depth and high standards of learning about multitask of life will spread on any subjects or any relevant issues or any burden questions which we are, as a human being, need to know, need to be aware, and need to be helped with. So I particularly was totally mesmerized when Hugh Downs became a bottom-line publications spokesperson. In fact, I used to subscribe bottom-line simply because it was very short, very concise, and right to the point. Indeed, the title, Bottom Line, totally corresponded to the way it was informed. It would inform us, and we would be informed in so many different issues, from financial to health issues to everyday little and big things. So when I found out that indeed Hugh Downs became a part of the team, I started to pay again my attention to Bottom Line, and indeed I learned very relevant information about some heart issues, about some cardiac medical challenges, and he delivered just most, I would say, sensational information which goes way beyond medical office, medical appointment we will have with the doctor's office, and the fact that he extended his own knowledge, especially in his mature age, even though he looks absolutely great. He's one of those ageless people, maybe because indeed he's so diversified and has a little bit life of juice for just for every little taste in life. He is just certainly world greatest treasure in delivering these health issues. I would certainly recommend to anyone to get acquainted with this Bottom Line books, and especially to dig for one which has to do with Mr. Downs' writing and information, written extremely simple, very competent, very easy for practical use. And especially with so much of bypass cardiac surgery, I found it particularly extremely useful. I would shift his attention also to the discussion, and I have to take this back. I would shift my attention to the discussion where Mr. Downs was co-host with Barbara Walters, another legend, another tremendous journalist. I found her objectivity and her fearless quite amazing. Of course, they earn their tremendous freedom to express themselves, whether they speak to the president or they just speak with some kind of pop culture figure. But there's always this tremendous diversification where we are craving to sense and to know. So we also place automatic sense of high anticipation if we hear that Barbara Walters would interview someone. For example, just recently she was interviewing Mr. President, and right before she was interviewing Sarah Palin. Of course, it's up to us to make some connections or disconnections, but it was very exciting, and the contrast was so engaging and so entertaining that I would not even I would not feel very guilty by saying that it was entertaining, even though I'm fully aware that we've been talking about one of the most serious issues as political issues. So this dynamic, which relates to our human soul, is just one of the most important connection to the information which we're receiving from the computer or from the human being. So I would say it's like a duet between journalist and a computer. And unfortunately, sometimes we are not at the discretion to get the full information. In fact, the expression goes, one should report the news, but not to make the news. But it is not such a black and white territory, because whoever reports the news inevitably brings her or his integrity, talent, certainly some challenge of the moment of delivery, which is spontaneity. So the accuracy becomes less of an issue rather than form of delivery. So I was thinking to make such a big deal out of journalism because the times we're living in, because we are depending from this everyday technical news, perhaps in a faster pace than before, for the reasons I mentioned before. And to make some other points, I would say that perhaps we will take a little pause and reflect on the thoughts which were expressed. And I cannot imagine a better moment as a piece of music, which is written by Julian Lampert, and also to say that any form of art helps to digest any kind of news that much easier in that much more natural way. So let's take advantage of this very talented and beautiful music by Julian Lampert. continue talking about our thoughts about journalism and the reason I made that decision for the past year, which we all went through with our different challenges, is because journalism, as I mentioned before, is a part of our everyday life. We don't go to special events on a daily basis, but we will hear about these special events again from the television news or from the radio, and we receive them in a very different mode, different excitement, and on a different level of anticipation. For certain people, certain news can trigger quite a bit of chain of thoughts, and the same person perhaps will not hear about the weather for tomorrow, but that particular piece of news will create tremendous inspiration for example, cleaning his dishes. I remember in my own experience, I heard once about largest mosaic which was made expressing picture of Michael Jackson. I heard about this on the radio, and that was such a theatrical, incredible visual reaction I had. I couldn't be, I just couldn't find a peace with myself before I found very modest but illustration of it. And this is just one of the many examples which we are taking from our listening to the news. As I mentioned, there is great deal of quality of delivery of the news. And we know some giant legend, as I mentioned, Mr. Downs or Barbara Walters. But we also have some local news directors. I like personally to share my experience with one extremely gifted lady at her own rights. She is a director of local news here. And even though, yes, it is only local, but her quality of delivery and such incredible depth and comprehension makes it everything but only local. The name of this beautiful lady is Jeanine Rose, who is a director of the news of Channel 12 News, it's called. And the reason we are so grateful to her, because somehow in her own way, she dressed her experience with knowledge and humanity. Number of her coverages are still in many people's mind. Somehow she knows how to have a proportion between the world news and immediate news. So it is a well-known phrase that some favorite television anchors becoming like a household name. And she's certainly one of them. But particularly what amazes me, how she is never static in her delivery, with this very solid professionalism I mentioned before. She always expresses her own personal human interest. And that is true secret of journalists, where you see concrete, very detailed, very meticulous delivery of the information, and yet you see in front or behind a human character. There is another person I like to mention, which comes from another part of the world, and his diversification made huge contribution in the world journalism. His name is Vladimir Posner. I believe that sometimes he doesn't even remember where he was born, because this individual feels natural in United States. He feels natural in Russia. He feels natural in France, and I believe many other places in the world. His own compositions of journalism is just remarkably individual. His adaptability to the situation, I guess, just comes from God and gift of God. He was co-host of Phil Donahue number of years ago, and for a number of years ago, I believe, and it was totally impossible to see less than just tremendous harmony between those two journalists, human beings, and the way they juggle information, the way they collaborated with the guests, with all these sometimes provocative issues. It was just remarkable to watch. A lot of people being disappointed when this collaboration was over, but after all, everything has its own end for the physical expression, and then we have a memories. And that's something extremely important. This is a power of journalism, which has another phase of it. It's what we remember. It's how helpful these particular information sets been for us, and what we can share with our children. Because children's imagination and hunger for the news is so important. And yes, we still don't have enough time for that. We hope that they will get it in school, from friends, from the computer. But in reality, they have a lot of texting to do. A lot of information gets from their, I call, finger tapping dance, where no one can compete with exchange and especially speed of the information. But this is not always sufficient. So the journalism which we are experiencing in everyday life, if it is very clear, if it is concise, if it is picturesque, if it is inspiring, or if it is profoundly sad, but with all of this, if it is articulated in a very strong level, then we are ready to share this with our children. I'd like to prolong this thought regarding our children. But before again, let's reflect on those wonderful journalists I mentioned. Listening another piece of Julian's music, which will continue verbal journalism, and it is musical journalism, after which I will talk about musical journalism the way I see it. Here is Julian Lambert. We will be talking about musical journalism, even though it doesn't exist, because we know about music critics. But who are these music critics? Aren't they the same group of these thinkers, erudites, who are delivering the information, their feedback about some music artistic events? They are under the same gun. because they take that much responsibility and dignity to share their knowledge, their beliefs, and their impressions of something extremely significant, which is part of our lives. And this is music and entertainment as a whole. So if we often don't have time or miss some performance, the only way for us to see how was this performance, what kind of ideas or what kind of novelties took place, we either talk to friend or we read critique. Yes, of course, we can go on the YouTube, but YouTube would not give us the whole story. It'll give us a taste and perhaps touch of excitement not to miss this performance second time. But the critics are taking tremendous role in abridging our perception and understanding of certain events, and their devotion and sense of responsibility to the artists or to the composers. There is something else in a tradition which I personally feel somewhat disappointed, because the artistry became somewhat also quite electronically advanced. So we are somewhat losing sense of a natural sound sometimes. And when critique steps in and gives us a critique, it's very hard to pinpoint whether it's a quality of electronic sound or it is a purity of the musician or purity of the music itself. Again, on a highly subjective note, but I would say that the old-fashioned journalists and music critics were that much more valuable because they dealt with the real sound, and they almost being obliged to go to real source, whether it's a composer, whether it's an interpreter of certain style and genre. And today we see this less and less. There is no secret that we are certainly watching pendulum which goes to the extreme of physicality. We are exposed to all these beautiful sex images. Sometimes they go overboard, especially when it is on an objective delivery of some kind of information on the television or on the internet. We're worrying about our children in this respect, but there is not much place for worries here. This is a reality. And I don't remember, unfortunately, the name of the radio host who almost was somewhat annoyed with the amount of sexuality he was exposed to. He said it was an interruption for my concentration. I would go as far as I would say that he actually use some terminology which I perhaps a little modest to repeat, but it was a very clear message that we're a little bit overdoing with sexuality, which still should be private and should be honored as some sacred, charming little corner. So we are certainly looking for some ideas where we're getting the news, trying to have somewhat the proportion, and it's so hard to find. Especially if we like something, we will go for it. In fact, we will be waiting for that particular news segment. In fact, we will be welcome if it gives us the same touch of spice, excitement, and different people looking for different things. So I would suggest that we will go back this year and see what kind of moments of spice we experienced. What did it bring to our lives? What we were deprived of? What we would like to see or to hear more? Why it is important? Well, it's important because we have to be as close to the news as we can. There's been so much skepticism regarding especially political news. And it is all different category of our lives. It is complex because it has to do with education, which we have to incrustate it in some kind of better shape and form. Because the more we educate it, the more we can comprehend political idiosyncrasies and some other complexities of our economy. But if we would just take it as a transparent, as a human being, we certainly can even talk about the weather in a different way. Well, if it is cold weather, but we have hot feelings inside, that is somewhat brings a little more excitement than the next glass of wine we drink, or another cup of coffee, or another new exotic cup of tea with beautiful chocolate. So I personally feel that the news can certainly have a more of a diversification of our lives. Not only in a commercial, when we need to be seduced and to buy something, but just to hear about something, to give us a space to think whether we like it or not. Because it's the thoughts that sometimes more expensive than the buying capacity. A lot of us have more than we need, and a lot of us missing what we desire. So if our news and our journalism will walk a little bit more with our psychology, with our drive of emotional curiosity and an excitement, then I think even sex will be somewhat more honored and will be placed in a better proportion. Our movie theaters will be filled with the people who will appreciate more of the spiritual message rather than physicality, because it's still a lot of these moments where crime and excessiveness of human anger so overwhelming that one would wonder how our children can deal with this. And if they come to the point when it is overwhelming for them, then we have this problem of a next generation where our journalism will not be in this harmony with their listeners. And journalism will be somewhat a little bit isolated as a fantastic tool of delivery, of clarification, and nourished with profound historic tradition. But in itself, if there is no close bridge to people's needs, to people's immediate, tremendous craving to get answers, then journalism becoming somewhat more shallow. I will share a little experience which I had personally when I just came to United States without speaking a single English word. So journalism was to me as just as a forbidden fruit. I will elaborate on this a little bit after. Again, we will have a wonderful time with Julian Lambert's music. What a delicious piece of music that was. And certainly something which one would connect to that little cup of tea I mentioned before, glass of wine, and few elegant moments, which I hope we will get more from our journalism in everyday life, where it can be a little bit more of a proportion between those commercials, and also will be with more human touches from the journalists themselves. And that brought my memory about me literally being in this country first day. I not only didn't speak any language, but I didn't have any idea where I was, because there wasn't any language to communicate. So, from the concierge of a little motel, I found out that I was in Philadelphia. Well, I couldn't even know how to spell word Philadelphia, but the only thing I knew that I had to get to the post office. Fortunately, post office, was not too far, but unfortunately, post office sound very, very different from my own language. So I just decided to explore. I went in the street, and I decided to be my own guide to find out where I was. Couldn't ask anything, couldn't read anything, so only my eyes and terribly cold temperature let me know that it is winter, and somehow I have to find the post office. A little miracle happened. When I was on the intersection, young lady approached me, and she was anything but so nice and so lovely that I just used my own, I guess, not completely frozen up at that time, intuition. And she didn't take much time to understand that not only I don't speak any English, I wasn't very well aware where I was. So she took my hand and she started to walk around just to show me where I was, because she thought that I lost. Well, I was much, I was totally lost at much greater extent that she was imagine. And just because downtown Philadelphia is not that large, we indeed end up near post office. My excitement was so unreal, and her satisfaction was just as wonderful as my excitement, that she indeed was waiting until I mailed the information. And then she again took me by the hand, and she brought me to her dormitory to show who she is. When I came to the dormitory, the first thing I saw was the piano. And that was my language to communicate with this very beautiful lady. I started to play before too long. She invited me to join her to her some kind of gathering. And I did not refuse. The only problem was I had my little son with me at that time, so I was using my gesticulation, if I said these words, somewhat coherent, showing her that my time is up. The problem was that she did not really know where I was, how to bring me back. So I understood that she was trying to bring me back at least where she found me, because I was not that far away from my motel. So she did bring me back to that point. I found the motel, and then next day I came there with my little son. I feel that this point of the story is illustrating how much we indeed have convenience from the words, how it is incredibly critical to know, to feel fluent, to express yourself. And journalists, especially gifted ones, are master doing that. But there is also very important that human element of the contact, of communication, of this transmission of desire to connect. So I hope that in our new year, we will be able to remember more that we are human beings, and that not only we have to walk along with this technology, but maybe be a little faster to see that computer delivers information in this overwhelming speed, but nothing, absolutely nothing, can replace our human feelings, replace our human reactions, and replace our human communication. If it is a little slower, sometimes it is that much more beautiful. So we will feel self-nourished, and we will have that very valuable communication with our children, because they can be just as beautifully sensitive when they speak, or they just listen, or they just feel. So let's conclude this program with two basic messages. We are very thankful to our journalists, especially the one who courageously go to battlefields, who gives us controversial information, who are very fearlessly approaching with respect our democracy. And in the same time, let's appreciate who we are, how we receive this information, that we have this ocean of humanity, which allows us to prosper as human beings, to connect closer to each other, to share that much love with our children. On this final note, I like to thank PBS, which I unfortunately forgot to do in the beginning of the program, but with that much more of my devotion, my admiration, and gratitude to this wonderful station, which has this unique collections of the ingredients which we are hosts using to our self-satisfaction. That was Lena Life. I'm your Lena Mirmond. I will be with you next Tuesday, the same time. And on this note, please enjoy at your own rights this holiday season with the thoughts of your past year. Enjoy every moment of this holiday moment with your friends, relatives, and have those hopes for the future. I hope to be part of this development. It was my pleasure. Goodbye. Thank you.